Joining us now on the Trocare College Live Line from the Sports Business Journal, Ben Fisher, who wrote that article on Friday talking about private equity and the NFL. Ben, thanks so much for being on with us this morning. All right, when we talk about private equity, what exactly are we talking about in terms of owning an NFL team?
Hey, thanks for having me. Well, it's really not an unusual situation in most lines of business. The NFL is unusual in that it prohibits anybody who's not just a regular human person from owning parts of the team. It's a common arrangement for radio stations and other businesses in this world that you might have a fund of many rich people who pool their money together to create more of an entity that would buy, in this case, maybe 10% of the Bills. Then that entity would hold that 10% and be part of the ownership group under the Pegulas.
Well, Ben, I'm wondering, was this owners' meeting scheduled for the Bills?
I think it would be a bit dramatic to say that it was scheduled for the express purpose of the Bills. As we understand that the Bills are one of a few teams that would like to avail themselves of this new private equity option sooner rather than later. And, you know, exactly who goes first or which ones maybe are the fastest to get a deal done once this policy is written, that gets into some hard-to-predict or hard-to-analyze questions. But the Bills are certainly among the teams that seem to be most likely to take advantage of this new option.
Why has the NFL been resistant to private equity until this point, and why now all of a sudden does it seem like a really good option for owners?
Right. Well, I mean, the NFL is nothing if not conservative and a little old-fashioned, and they've always thought that the league runs best when it's, the very traditional concept of a football team, that you've got kind of a city father who owns the team, and, you know, it's him and maybe just a few other close private partners of him. And that's they like that because it's relatively easy to manage. They can get everyone who's involved in the league onto the same phone call in a matter of an hour or two. If you get funds and big complicated institutions involved, things slow down. Accountability can be harder. They want to be sure they can always call one person to talk about the Bills or whoever. That's changing because the teams are just so valuable. When a team is worth conservatively $4 or $5 billion, there's not that many people who can afford to buy 10% of it. So this is when you bring in more of a financialized world where you get these big funds worth of many people's money, maybe even pension systems. So it's hundreds of people might even be involved in these private equity funds.
It sounds like those are the advantages. Is there a drawback?
Well, one of the reasons they have been taking nearly a year to write these new policies allowing is because there's absolutely potential drawbacks. These large institutions, they are a little bit more bottom line oriented. You know, if you've got a private friend of Terry Pegula who owns 10% of it, they're likely to be a little bit less demanding as far as an exact rate of return. The funds, are more financially driven, or less about the relationships and more just about, is this 20% more valuable than it was a year ago? And if not, why not? And that's where you get into horror stories about private equity firms, laying off lots of people because nothing matters to a private equity firm other than the return, which is arguably the long-term stability of the franchise. But they've written these rules in such a way that those private equity funds shouldn't be able to really influence the operations of the team. They're purely passive investors. At least that's how these rules are being written. They hope to make it that way.
Well, interesting to hear how that could perhaps impact what the Bills decide to do. Again, this meeting taking place right now in an effort so that these sales could potentially close before the end of the year. I mean, after today's meeting, are you expecting some news in the matter of weeks?
Yes, I think that's safe to say the reason they did this meeting in late August instead of late October when they would normally meet again is that these deals, you might have a deal in principle done within a week or two of the policy being permitted. Maybe more typically there'd be a day window of due diligence, so that takes us out a couple of months. So very little happens quickly in the world of moving 10% of an NFL team. But at least by those standards, yes, I do think it'd be reasonable to expect some sort of transaction, if not final, to be announced as a matter of, this is done pending due diligence, or we've got a deal in principle, something like that could be announced, you know, sooner rather than later, for sure.
Hey, Ben, thank you so much. We appreciate it.